you started teaching first in public schools, and then you started teaching on the collegiate level in Ohio. And then you came to UNI in 1976. That must have been a pretty interesting time here at University of Northern Iowa.
It certainly was, because I came as the marching band and symphonic band director. And so I tell people I came in 76 and opened the dome, because it was the first time they really played football in the dome. And it was kind of wild around here at that point, because there was a lot of controversy about the dome itself. A lot of the faculty were not happy about it. And Stan Sheriff and President Kamerick were really the driving forces that built that place. And another interesting point is that when it was built, Hudson Road was a two-lane road. And because of the traffic it was generating, they built it into a four-lane highway.
Now, for a couple years of your life, you went on the road and you were a member of a big band. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I was teaching public school and was playing in a band in Myers Lake Ballroom in Canton, Ohio, where they would, on Sunday nights, would bring the big bands in for dances. It was a beautiful ballroom. It had a fountain in the middle of the floor and terraced seating. It looked like a movie. It was a beautiful place. So I was playing in this local band on Saturday nights, and then they'd bring the big bands in on Sundays. And, of course, the guys in the band would come in and listen to the bands. And this particular night, the newly formed Tommy Dorsey Band, because Tommy had died, being run by Warren Covington. So the band came in, and they were playing, and a fellow who lived in Canton, Bob Fischel, was also a trombone player and had played on the Les Brown Band with Warren Covington. So Bob and I were standing there watching the band, and I noticed a third trombone player really struggling, and I said, "Bob, I think I could play that well." And so he went up to Warren, and after intermission, they gave me a jacket, and I sat in, and I read the book. And after the job was over, this was in the summer, they said, "If you'd like to come with us, you're hired, and you can be a trombone player." So I had to get one of my assistants to find out, because I was giving lessons. The long and short of it is, I was planning on coming back in 3 weeks to get ready for the fall season. And I got a phone call from my wife that said, the principal said, "If you aren't back here to conduct the band at a fireman's festival, you're fired." And I thought, oh, man, I can't afford to do that. So I flew back from New England to Canton, conducted a band concert, and was getting ready to prepare for the football season. And then the trombone player called me and said he had to go to New York to get some dental work done, and would I come to Indianapolis and play for him? Sure, I'd be glad to do that. Well, after the job was over, I remember sitting in a coffee shop, and Warren came by and he said, "How would you like to become part of the band?" And I said, "Golly, I don't know. I mean, I'm a teacher. How can I do this?" And he said, "Well, think about it." And the band was going on a break for a couple weeks. So I thought about it, and I said, I think almost everybody that's in music wants to be a professional in whatever they're singing, opera, bands, whatever. So I said, "Okay, I'll do it." I said, "I've got a family. I can't just play a little bit." And he said, "No, we're booked every night." And he wasn't kidding. We played at one point in that year 30 one-nighters in a row without a break. So I stayed with the band almost a year to the day, and then came back into public school teaching.
And did your principal take you back?
Oh, no, I didn't go back to that school.
You also have done some really amazing things, but band really has been your life. And you came to Cedar Falls, but you noticed when you were here there was something missing.
Well, yeah, I had been playing in other people's big bands for, well, all the time I was teaching in public school and even at Findlay College. And there was not a big band to play in. So just out of not having any place to play, I put together a big band and started. And the band has been playing, not so much anymore, but did a lot of playing from 76 on. Then out of that group, I had a combo, a small group. Dixieland Band came out of that. So, yeah, I've done a lot of playing in Cedar Falls, Iowa.
And in addition to having the Bill Shepherd Big Band and your Bill Shepherd Combo and your Red Hots, the Dixieland Jazz, and your Shepherd's Flock, which is a very interesting title, you also have some discs out. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yes. I guess after a while, I thought the band really was playing so well that I thought it would be nice to have a CD of the band. So I have recorded 4 CDs of the band. The first 2 were primarily big band music, like In the Mood and Glenn Miller, Tommy Dorsey, those kinds of things. And then more recently, we decided, along with my daughter Nola, to do Christmas CDs. So the last 2 CDs now are all Christmas music.
In addition to all these bands and teaching at UNI, you also have been directing the Waterloo Municipal Band.
Yes, the Waterloo Municipal Band is an excellent concert band. Joe Junta, former director of the Waterloo Symphony, conducted that band. And when he moved to Des Moines to conduct their symphony, I was tapped to conduct that band. And yeah, I think it's one of the finest summer bands in the state. We have excellent players. We rehearse on Wednesday nights and then play the concert on Thursday night. So the group has to really be able to sight read very well because we play difficult music. And we have singers and soloists and people that appear with the band. And the band is recorded and they play it on public television in Waterloo. So people can hear the band and see the band on their public station.
And you finally have a band shell, which you had been wanting for quite some time, Bill.
Yeah, I think forever might be a better word. But when they built the addition onto the Center for the Arts, the River Loop area, I don't think they thought much about acoustics. They just thought about what it was going to look like. But thankfully, it turned out to be an excellent place to play. We used to play in Burns Park all the time. And I really took the band to the riverfront with trepidation because I wasn't sure whether it would sound good or not. And we booked 1 concert down there. And boy, as soon as we played that concert, the band, everyone just like, wow, this is terrific. The band members could hear themselves better. The people could hear the band better. And it's been a wonderful addition to live music in Waterloo.
And you also started the New Horizons Band.
Well, yes. That organization was really started in New York at the Eastman School of Music. There's a fellow there, a teacher who said, we have preschool music for students. They play in high school. They play in college. But when they get out of college and are older, there's no place for them to play. So he started this group at Eastman and put out an advertisement for anyone, I think, 50 or over, or really anybody that wanted to play. And he had a great response. In fact, it was so successful there that he appeared on the Good Morning Show on NBC. And since that time, this idea has spread across the United States. And the premise is that people who used to play and want to play again have a place. Or if you never played and want to learn an instrument, you can learn to play. So that was the genesis of the New Horizons movement. Yeah, the band started, I think we started with maybe 14, 15 people. And I think now then it's maybe over 60 people. So it's a great thing for people that need a place to play. So I think it really fulfilled a great need.